Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
The reading is from Luke chapter 2, from verses 8 to verse 20. The shepherds and the angels. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a great army of heaven's angels appeared with an angel, singing praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angels had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back, singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had just been as the angel had told them. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Let's just pray together before we look at God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this eternal and everlasting story. A story that can still speak into our hearts and our minds, that can assure us of your presence and can fill us with the deepest joy. Father, be with us as we consider your word today, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, we're almost there. The fourth Sunday in Advent, and only one more candle to light, which we will light when it comes to Christmas Day. A very different Christmas, perhaps, especially with the tightened restrictions that were announced just yesterday, but one in which we still have to make preparations to work out exactly what we're doing on Christmas Day, working out how to get gifts to other family members, to work out what time to video call family or friends, or just to phone them on the plain old telephone. Lots of logistical things to work out. This week I went down to Ardrossan to get a few things from the supermarket, and on the way home I was stuck in the traffic on the Shore Road where they're doing resurfacing. I'm sure many of you have been stuck there in the past week or so. And as I was waiting in the queue, the news came on the radio, and the 5 minutes or so of news went past, and it was bad news after bad news. So much so that the DJ, after the news, said, "I'm sure there was some good news there somewhere. Wasn't there? Wasn't there?" The fact was that there wasn't. It was all bad news that was reported. And during 2020, it's been difficult for all of us, hasn't it? When we went into lockdown in March, who would have thought we would still be facing similar restrictions in December? And yet, here we are. And perhaps there is a longing within you for good news rather than bad news, which we seem to have all suffered with this year. Well, this morning I have good news for you. In fact, it is the best news. I'm sure most of us will have heard this news before and are familiar with what this news is, but when things are difficult, such as in our world at this present time and in our nation and in our country, then we so appreciate this good news, don't we? The news starts with a birth. And not just any birth, a royal birth. Whenever there is a royal birth, it's always big news, isn't it? Remember when the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge has Prince George and Princess Charlotte and Prince Louis? It was big news, especially for George, who's in line to one day be king. The baby born in our story today wasn't born in a palace or in a high-tech medical facility. Joseph and Mary had travelled up from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of a census that was being taken. And because Joseph was from Bethlehem, noted in our passage as being the town of David, then that is where Mary and Joseph went. Often in the Nativity stories we have the picture that they travelled when Mary was heavily pregnant, and they arrive in Bethlehem just as Mary is about to give birth. And often in Nativities we see Joseph running around, trying to find an inn that had any space so that Mary could give birth, and finding none. But actually, if you were listening carefully, in our passage today there was no mention of an inn. Indeed, I don't believe there was an inn. Instead, the passage actually says there was no guest room for Mary and Joseph and the baby. You see, it's more likely that Joseph and Mary, when they came to Bethlehem, were staying with family. But as it was busy in Bethlehem because of the census, there wasn't space in the guest room. And that tended to be the upper room in someone's house. The same word here is used for the upper room that Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. So the guest room was the upper room in the house. And because there was no space there, instead, Joseph and Mary were in the lower room, the family room. And it was here that Jesus was born. And he was placed in a manger, a feeding trough, because commonly this was where the animals were kept within the house, to keep them sheltered. And also it gave some heating to the house as well. So it's very much a family setting that Jesus was born into. And this fits in well later with the Magi who came, who don't come to a stable or to an inn. It says in Matthew's Gospel, they came to a house. So a baby has been born. Good news. Lovely news. We love it when a baby's been born, especially in our own families, a son, a daughter, a grandchild, a niece or a nephew. When it's a bit more removed from us, it sometimes seems a little less exciting. But this child, Jesus, is for all of us. And this is shown by those who found out first that Jesus had been born. You see, I sometimes wonder what Mary and Joseph thought when Jesus had been born. And if they were wondering what should happen next. You see, they knew from what the angel had said that this baby was special. They'd heard all about him. But other than look after him, they probably wondered what else was going to happen. However, they would soon find out. Because in the fields nearby, looking after sheep, mainly for the temple sacrifices, were some shepherds. Shepherds were looked down on in society. They were low on the social scale. But then something amazing happens. Because out of nowhere an angel appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid." You see, even if you're a hardy shepherd, it was probably a scary sight to meet with an angel. Angels are not cuddly, sitting on clouds, wearing white and playing harps after all. So this angel appears and gives them a message. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Good news of great joy for all the people. I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for that news today. I'm desperate for that news. You see, sometimes we have a national celebration, don't we, in our land. A golden jubilee for the Queen, or a diamond jubilee as we had most recently. Nations, of course, celebrate after the end of wars. But this is good news of great joy for all the people. Even these shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The angel says, wow, what news. You see, the people of Israel had been waiting and waiting for a Messiah. And now, finally, he had come. He is a Saviour. You see, we looked a few weeks ago at the fact that our greatest problem in life is sin. Because it's sin that separates us from God. It's sin that brings alienation from other people and guilt and shame to our own souls. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But God in grace and love, as we've looked at over the last two Sundays, was willing to send us a Saviour. You see, whilst we could not save ourselves, God can save us, and he's willing to save us. And here, God sends his Son. And it's announced, first of all, to these shepherds. And they're given a great big hint to go find this baby that's been born, who's been wrapped in swaddling bands and placed in a manger. And as they're told this news by one angel, suddenly, all around them, bursting forth, we have a company of the heavenly host who praise God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. It's almost as if the angels could not but appear and praise God. And then suddenly, the angels are gone again. And the shepherds are left looking after their sheep. Now, at this point, they have a choice to make. Do they say to themselves, well, lovely having those angels with us. Lovely message. But we've sheep to look after. Do they just stay where they are? Or do they go and see if what the angels said is true? Now, we know the story. And you might think to yourself, well, it's a no-brainer. Of course they're going to go and try to find the baby. And they do. They hurry off, find the baby, and they rejoice. But I simply want to ask today, would we try to find the baby? Or would we stay where we are? You see, when someone comes to our door at Christmas time and gives us a gift, we don't say, thanks very much, that's lovely, and then stick that gift in a drawer unopened. We're eager to see what the gift is, and so we open the gift. Jesus is the gift offered to you. It's through Jesus that joy is offered to you. Eternal and everlasting joy. Deep joy. Unspeakable joy. Unquenchable joy. And yet the amazing thing is that some of us are so lukewarm about receiving Jesus. We're so occupied with our sheep that we don't even bother to look for him. The shepherds were low in society, not well liked. And yet they knew this Saviour was for them. And it doesn't matter who we are, whether we feel as though we're high up in the social scale or low down, it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. Because the fact is that we're all in the same boat, sinners who need God's grace and forgiveness and love. And in Jesus, God gives us all this. And more. You see, at the end of the day, the gifts we receive at Christmas don't cut it. The perfume, the bath salts, the socks, the sweets, they won't last forever. They don't give us everlasting joy. Neither does the turkey or the Christmas TV. Christmas is about Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season. And this year, more than any, we need to remember this. You see, it would be very easy to become downcast at what's happening in our world and in our nation. And this time, there is a very real struggle, isn't there? And there is a place, of course, isn't there, for lament. And saying, Lord, I'm really struggling with all this. There's a time for calling out to God and saying, how long? How long is this going to be? But in the midst of all this, in the midst of this pandemic with all its restrictions, for the Christian, we must never lose hope. We must never lose our joy. Because this child in a manger is Christ the Lord. Good news 2,000 years ago and good news now. Because he means salvation for our souls. He means closeness with God, that we can know his love. He means no more crying, death and pain, and that in the end, all will be well, and God has everything in control. You see, we like a happy ending, don't we? At this time of year, there are often corny Christmas movies on the television. Perhaps you've seen some of them already. Often love stories with a happy ending. A happy ending makes us feel good, doesn't it? Those times when everything seems to work out. Sometimes in life, we just hope everything will work out okay. But with God, we have that assurance that everything will be okay. Why? Because Jesus came. Emmanuel, God with us. He came into our broken world. He died the death we should have died. He brought life. You see, when the shepherds saw Jesus, what was their reaction? They glorified God. They praised God. And they shared the good news about Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be like those shepherds, desperate to look for Jesus. And when they find him, rejoicing in all that God has done. What about you today? Are you still in the fields looking after those sheep? I encourage you this morning. Get up. Go to Bethlehem. See what the angel said was true. And even in these difficult times, you will know true and lasting joy. The joy of knowing that this child is the Saviour of the world and the Saviour that each of us needs. Amen. God will bless this word to us.